Welcome everybody to session number two of the PEACE system, the Sanity Saving Priority Management System for Creative Entrepreneurs. This is Lisa Robin Young of lisarobinyoung.com. And today we dig into the first step of the system. As you know, P stands for prayer or meditation. So we'll be talking about various definitions of those words. You'll learn my specific process for my sacred practice, and you're going to learn a handful of other ways to move through this stage of the PEACE system as well. We're also going to talk about the power of focus, if there's time today, and how focused energy equals focused action in your life. And you're going to learn how this step, step one in the PEACE system, will actually help you get more focused so that you can take more focused action in your life and work. Before we move forward, though, I want to lay some groundwork. I want to clear up the issue of faith versus religion versus spirituality. I am here to present options to you, not to force a belief system down your throat. This isn't about scripture or a particular faith system or religion. It is, however, somewhat spiritual in nature, in that you're probably going to open yourself up to aspects of yourself, your divine self, that may have been dormant for a while. I talk about the nature of us being fully human and fully divine in some of the other training that I do. And so when I refer to your divine self, that's the concept that I'm talking about. And if you are a devout follower of your faith, then you're in luck, because this first step, prayer and meditation, actually allows you to connect deeper to that which you already believe in. It serves as a daily mini exercise for strengthening your faith, which we talked about last session as one of your five key areas of success. If your faith is in God, again, insert the word that inspires you best here, then this step is going to strengthen that faith. If your faith is in your work, again, anything higher than just yourself, then you're going to be encouraged in that faith walk. And that's because prayer and meditation are the two-way conversation of faith. In prayer, you pour out what's on your mind, what's on your heart, what's going on inside you and around you, and you get to express your awareness without judgment, and that's important. I'll come back to that. But prayer is like the exhale. You just let it all out. Meditation, on the other hand, is the inhale. It's where you get to be still and listen and take things in, to hear or receive messages and input from your divine source, whether that's your intuition or God, divine intelligence, whatever concept most resonates with you. There can't always be continuous exhale. You've got to inhale or you'll have nothing left. We talked about that. There can't always be continuous inhale. You've got to exhale or you're going to have too much to hold on to. And I know meditation, particularly if you're new at it, can be downright challenging. I know for me, I felt like it was impossible to sit still for even a few minutes. Oh, and I have kids, so, you know, it becomes very distracting. And it was very difficult for me at first to even just, like, literally 60 seconds. I could not sit still for 60 seconds. I know that that probably made my mother laugh with delight. But when I originally created this program, I used the words prayer and meditation interchangeably. And I used other words like grounding and centering as if they all meant the same thing. And I've learned in a couple of years since I last taught this program that they do not mean the same thing. And this is probably one of the biggest updates to the system. The reason step one is so important is because when you complete it, you have grounded and centered yourself. You have connected. And not everybody's going to feel grounded and centered, and I'm going to talk about that later. But most people are going to feel a sense of connection to their true self, to their divine self, to something greater than themselves, to God. They're going to feel that connection. And for a lot of people, that connection feels grounding, centered, comfortable, warm. Those are kind of some of the words that people have used to describe that sensation. It can also be very exciting and uplifting and energizing. So I don't want you to think, oh, I'm not feeling grounded and centered, that you're doing it wrong. And we're going to talk about doing it wrong later as well, because I know that that's a big thing for people. There's a big difference between prayer and meditation. They are two sides of the same coin, and neither should be used without the other. So if you pray, you need to meditate. And if you meditate, you need to pray. So let's talk about this, because when I thought about prayer and meditation, the image that used to come to my mind was, you know, kneeling at the altar, sitting in the lotus position. Two images that, when I thought about them, just thinking about them, made my back and my knees hurt. Still do. There are many ways, many, many ways to offer up prayers, and many different kinds of prayers. And if prayers isn't a word that works for you, substitute one that does. Prayer is nothing more than and nothing less than a spiritual way to ask for what you want, what you need, and to speak to the divine transformational energy that lives within you and beyond you. And I'm going to say that several times in this session. It's not begging. It's not trick-or-treating where you just show up and things are handed to you. When I first started this process, something that's evolved for me over several years, I didn't know what I was doing. And that's why I didn't share this when I started doing it. I started this, you know, prayer thing, and that's really what it was for me. I had no idea what I was doing. I'm like, okay, do I genuflect? Do I get on my knees? Does it still count as prayer if I'm sitting, or if I'm laying down? Does it not count? Do I have to have my head down? With all of these rules that I was going through in my head, I had no idea what prayer was really all about. It was uncomfortable. It was awkward. And when I first started, you know, I was reading scripture and writing it down in my journal, and then, you know, trying to pray piously, you know, dear Lord, I thank thee for this day. And it felt fake with the these and the thous, and I just didn't get it. You know, I thought that was the way you really prayed. Okay, and this was like 5 years ago. Now I'm in my 30s, and at least I didn't know how to pray, okay? So I started by just trying to read scripture and say a bunch of the quote-unquote right stuff, and I wasn't getting it. And so I came to realize that what I had to do was stop putting on a show for God, because God doesn't need my show. God wants to hear the real me. God wants to see the real me show up and have a conversation, have a relationship. And I wanted to share the real me, but I wasn't even clear on what that was all about, you know? But think about this. How can God, the divine source of every blessing in the world, how can I be blessed if the real me isn't showing up? Who or what is getting that blessing if I'm not showing up? How can you fully receive your blessings in this world if you're not fully showing up as your true self in your life and in your work? You can't. So then I transitioned into this conversations with God kind of approach. Some of you may have read that book, you know, where I'd write down, dear God, and then whatever my question was, and wait for this response to come, and I would write it down, kind of a thing. And every once in a while, I would catch these glimpses of connection. But it wasn't always clear, and sometimes it was completely muddy. And sometimes I'd have these brilliant insights, and I'd be like, oh, that's really good. Was that God, or was that me? Oh. And so that served me for a while, and we're going to talk about evolution later. But I basically had to get real with my prayer. And so it became this, hey, God, how's it going? Kind of weird, awkward space, but it was honest. It was like, you know, today I really feel like crap, Lord, and I'm not happy about it, and here's why, and bleh, and I would just let it out. And I liken it to dating. You know, those first few dates can be really awkward, not knowing what to say, and still trying to remember to be yourself. And, you know, mom says, if they don't like you the way you are, then they were never meant to be your friend in the first place, you know, kind of a thing. And so you want to put your best foot forward, but you still want to be truthful, and you know, so it's awkward, but you keep showing up. And as time goes on, you get more comfortable with this person that you're in a relationship with, and you can say more of what's really on your heart in a genuine, authentic, fully you way without violating their sense of who they are. And that's when the relationship gets rich beyond measure if you let it. And you're just having a relationship with the divine. You know, this morning, I was inspired with this prayer. You guys are the first people to hear this, okay? Because I've been focusing a lot on self-worth lately and how I don't always show up in every area of my life as my authentic self. So in my sacred time today, as I was writing, this prayer kind of came out, and I want to share this with you. let me get on the right page. Lord, you created me in your infinite wisdom to serve a greater purpose in this world. I know that, and I've known it for a very long time, yet somewhere inside me, I've rejected my brilliance, rejected my greatness, and rejected the truth of who I really am. Restore me, Lord. Renew my spirit and kindle in me a fire bright burning with desire to know, love, and embrace my brilliance, my greatness, and the truth of who I really am. I am your divine creation, perfectly formed to serve your greater purpose in this world. Even if the world rejects me, let me be as confident as Jesus about my mission in the world. I will no longer reject who you have called me to be and what you have called me to do in service of your people. I embrace my divine gifts and my divine calling according to your perfect will for my life and gratefully accept all the blessings I will receive for living out my purpose in this life. That just kind of flowed out today. Way different than, hey, God, what's shaking? Which was how it was for me very early on. This is about doing what's authentic for you and only doing what's authentic for you. And for me, sometimes that means swearing or crying or shouting. And one of my biggest pet peeves, and I think I talked about this in the very first class that I taught, one of my biggest pet peeves is being in a church where everybody kind of goes through the motions during prayer. It bothers me because it comes off like they don't really mean what they're saying. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, blah, 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 blah. Stand here, kneel there. And somehow we're programmed that that's how prayer is supposed to be. Stand up, we hold hands, we squeeze at the end when we say amen, and, you know, that's real prayer. Prayer can be a song you sing, a dance you do, a task you undertake. You can pray in the way that you take care of your kids. Everything you do can be a prayer if the intention behind it is to ask for what you want, ask for what you need, or to speak to the divine transformational energy that lives within you and beyond you. Since I last taught this program, I've been certified as a level 2 Reiki healer. And Reiki is essentially a divine energy healing practice. And in the process of learning Reiki, we're taught a prayer about 5 attitudes. And I won't share the prayer with you, but I will share the attitudes with you. Joy, peace, gratitude, truth and integrity, and loving service. We begin every Reiki session, every healing session, with a prayer focused on those 5 attitudes as a way to bring about a stronger connection to the divine within us, to tap into the healing energy, the energy that flows around and through us. And I want to demonstrate for you right now that energy. So I want to practice for a moment experiencing those attitudes. So before we start, I want you to just kind of take a mental assessment of where you're at right now, what your energy level is like. Are you high? Are you low? Are you hot? Are you cold? Are you sleepy? Are you awake and alert? Just kind of gauge where you're at right now in this moment. Now I want you to think about joy. Just think about the word joy and what that word means. And now as you're thinking about that word and its definition, I want you to think about something that makes you joyful, something that brings you joy, or someone that brings you joy. Now, immediately, you're probably going to feel a shift in your experience, in your energy. I want you to sit in that, what that energy shift feels like, what that new energy sensation feels like for you. And you may feel it stronger in certain areas of your body than others. There are no right or wrong places to feel it. I just want you to recognize where it is for you in your body. Now shift your thoughts to the word peace and what peace means. You know, calmness, soothing still waters, those are general images that people get. But think about the word peace and what it means. Now think about something or someone that brings you peace and brings you calmness. Again, you may feel that shift in your energy. I want you to experience that shift from the cerebral word to the emotive experience. and experience that shift, that sensation of calm and peace in your body, wherever it manifests. And it may be someplace different for you than it is for me or someone else. Now think about the words gratitude and thankfulness and what those mean. Gratitude, thankfulness, thanksgiving. Not the holiday, but the spirit behind the word. And now let's shift from the cerebral word to someone or something. Shift your focus to someone or something for which you are truly grateful. And feel that energy in your body. And notice where you are experiencing the sensations of gratitude and what gratitude truly feels like for you. Be with that for a moment. Because as we go through each level, and these are levels of attitude, the first ones are much easier for us to feel and recognize. And as we move through this, it's going to be a little more difficult for some people. And I just want to set you up for that now. Because now we're going to move from gratitude into truth and integrity. You know truth when you hear it. You feel it in your bones, so to speak. But what do you feel like when you are in complete integrity with yourself, with your values and beliefs? What does that feel like for you? And if you're a human being that operates in the real world where we're challenged to stay in integrity with ourselves at every turn, this one's going to seem a little more foreign than others. Might even feel a little awkward or uncomfortable, but whatever you feel, feel it. No judgment, just awareness. What are you feeling when we talk about the act of being in integrity with our true values and our true beliefs? When we talk about being truthful, being honest, and coming from a place of truth and integrity, what does that feel like? What does your body experience? And where are you feeling that? Acknowledge that sensation and now begin to contemplate loving service. This is probably the most complicated attitude of all. It's the final attitude in our prayer. And we're not talking about servitude, but a space of unconditional loving service that says, I care for you. And because I care for you, I want to do what I can to help you. Not doing more than you can, but only what you can. Because loving service gives you the room. It allows you the room. It gives you permission to love and serve yourself in the process of loving and serving others. So be with that feeling of loving service for a moment. And that's it. Joy, peace, gratitude, truth and integrity, and loving service. This exercise, I want you to check in right now and gauge your energy level. Where's your energy now compared to where it was a few minutes ago when we started this activity? This exercise reminds me of the tangible nature of energy. Now, we can't see it, like we can't see the air around us, but we can definitely experience it. We can't always touch it, like we can't touch the air around us, but it certainly touches us. And we need to be mindful of how our energy and the energy of those around us and influencing us can impact how we approach our day. And when I want a quick reminder of this, kind of a flare prayer, if you will, I will sing this quick little prayer that I wrote to remind me of these five attitudes. And literally, it's just those five words set to a little tune. So I'm going to sing it for you right now. Joy. Peace, gratitude, truth and integrity, loving service. That's it. Really, it's not, you know, it's not complicated. It's a simple tune. There's no clutter. But melodically, it resonates for me. It's a quick reminder in musical form, and I am musical, so I really respond to that. It aligns me almost instantly to remember joyfulness and peacefulness and the space for gratitude and to be truthful and be a person of integrity and to work from a place of loving service. And so I get all of those emotive feelings very quickly through that particular little song. And I encourage you that if that works for you, feel free to use it. And you can sing it in any key that works for you. Joy, peace, gratitude, truth and integrity, loving service. I mean, probably you want to sing a little slower than that, but if that works for you. But maybe you're not musical. Okay, maybe you're a journaler. One of my favorite tools in my sacred practice is morning pages. And I was turned on to this by Julia Cameron's book, The Artist's Way, which is a great book about creativity and spirituality, and a lot of creative entrepreneurs are very familiar with this book. I only read it recently. But in the book, she talks about giving yourself time each morning to write down at least 3 pages worth of stuff, like a morning brain dump. And we're going to talk more extensively about brain dumps in particular later in another lesson, but when I first started doing morning pages, I was doing it as a prayerful thing to kind of talk through stuff with God. And I would write, you know, for an hour or more because I had so much stuff pouring out of my head, so many things in my heart that I wanted to share. And now there are days when 3 pages is about all I can do. But that's because I'm practiced at it and I have a daily conversation with the divine, with my divine self, with God, that allows me to get through that head stuff more quickly because I'm maintaining it. I'm taking care of it on a regular basis. Remember when I said that if you did this regularly, you'd really miss it and feel it when you skip a day or two? This is one of those areas that I'm talking about. If you let all your head junk build up for several days, then you get overwhelmed and you've got a lot more gunk to write down during your morning pages. Because getting it out of your head activates what Catherine Ponder calls the vacuum law of prosperity. Catherine Ponder is an author and a minister in the Unity Church movement, I believe. But she says that nature abhors a vacuum. So when you clear off a flat space, it usually gets piled back up. If you clean out your desk, more stuff finds its way in there. You clean out your closet, you get new clothes, okay? So when you take time each morning before you let the world's demands encroach on you, and you clear out your head junk, you give yourself an opportunity to connect with the divine and get that space filled up with useful, helpful inspiration. So clear it out with prayer, clear it out with morning pages, music, whatever device works for you to share what's on your heart. Then give yourself time in meditation to receive and be filled up with divine inspiration. Remember, prayer is the spiritual way to ask for what you want, what you need, and to speak to the divine transformational energy that lives within you and beyond you. It is the beginning of the relationship, the part where you give. Now you must receive, and we do that through meditation. Meditation is as varied as prayer, okay? It's not sitting in the lotus position and chanting om for 40 minutes, although it can be for some people. Again, maybe it's a physical activity like running or yoga or dance. Maybe it is stillness in a chair, on your bed, on the floor, sitting, laying down. The posture, again, doesn't matter so much as the intention behind what you do. Now, for most people, it is some form of stillness, meditation in stillness, whether it's a guided meditation, which I'm going to take you guys through in a moment, a silent meditation, or you're just sitting in awareness to peaceful music. Those seem to be the most common forms of meditation. But here's the thing. Meditation can take any number of forms. The thing you have to remember is meditation isn't mindless. You don't just flip on the radio and just kind of zone out. You don't just sit still and try not to move for 10 or 20 minutes. You are an active participant. You are actively listening. And listening is really the best word we have in our language. But it's not done with your ears necessarily, okay? You might not actually hear anything. The room might be so quiet or the music might be so, you know, overwhelmingly loud in your quiet space that you can't hear with your ears anything else. I'm not talking about your ears. That can be part of it. But you're listening with your heart, with your spirit, with your intuition, with your understanding of what your essential why is, which is, you know, something that I teach. When you're clear on what your purpose and your mission and why you do what you do is, you're listening through that filter. And what you pick up from your heart, your spirit, your intuition might be other kinds of impressions. Might not be sounds. It might be emotions or colors. And it might be sounds. You might get very vivid images. You might hear a voice from the past in the back of your mind. I can't tell you what you're going to experience. You might get tingling sensations in different parts of your body. I don't know what you're going to experience because your experience is going to be uniquely your own. But you're listening for the response that the divine energy around you is reverberating in reply to your prayer. One of my clients, who's also a very good friend of mine, uses mudras, M-U-D-R-A-S, in her sacred practice as a form of meditation. And it's kind of like yoga for your hands, is how she explained it to me. And it comes from Indian tradition, from India, but it also has spiritual roots in Buddhism. And there are different forms of mudras. There are some for your whole body, and there are, you know, hand position. So I'm going to share with you a set of hand positions that you can use in your meditative practices. And you actually already do these hand positions. You probably didn't even realize it. With both your hands, I want you to make the peace sign. You know, two fingers up and the other three tips, your thumb and your two other fingers touching. Okay? And you just sit quietly with your hands in this position and you just breathe. And I'm going to take you through the breathing in a moment. Okay? But this set of hand positions is said to increase your energy level as you meditate. And so if this feels uncomfortable to you, like you've got your hands in this position and you're like, yeah, really, this really doesn't feel comfortable for you, then just sit with your hands in your lap, palms up. And yes, I've seen people do it palms down. The idea is not to make you uncomfortable. It's to help you find a posture that gives you the ability to receive. So whatever receptive energy posture works for you, try that. If you're comfortable enough, though, go ahead and just put your hands, you know, in the two-piece signs and just hold them there while we work through this quick little, and it literally is very, very quick, all right? And what I want you to do with your hands in your receptive position and your feet flat on the floor is breathe in. You may or may not close your eyes. It's entirely up to you. And then inhale, visualize that you're inhaling this warm, healing, radiant, glowing light. And hold it briefly and allow your body's energy to absorb it. Absorb all of the warmth and the healing and the energy that's coming in through your breath. And as you exhale, allow anything that's unnecessary to be released. And do that another time. And hold it. And let it out. And as you're inhaling, in your mind, say, I thankfully accept everything that is good for me. Let it have its effect within me. And then as you're breathing out, and release everything that is spent. I inhale thankfully, accepting everything that is good for me. I hold, let it have its effect within me, and release as you breathe out everything that is spent. I'll say that one more time. I thankfully accept everything that is good for me. Let it have its effect within me. And release everything that is spent. And that's it. This is an opportunity for you to receive, to take in what needs to flow in from the divine and to release what needs releasing. You can do this in very short bursts while you're sitting in traffic, standing at the grocery store, waiting for your tea at the microwave. That's what I started doing. But this is simple meditative technique that doesn't have to, you know, put you in some funky posture that you can't hold and it's uncomfortable and makes you sit there for 12 hours. When I first started meditating, in order to get myself to sit still, I would light a tea light candle and I would just stare at the flame for as long as I could tolerate. And at first it was like 40 seconds and then I had to look away, you know, and move and twitch and scratch my nose. And the whole time I had, oh, God, why am I doing this? I don't understand why I'm doing this. It's so ridiculous. And then I was staring at the candle for a couple of minutes. And, you know, it would be like, oh, my gosh, I've sat here for more than, it has to have been more than 30 seconds. And I looked at the clock, and sure enough, it's been 2 minutes. And eventually I was able to sit without the candle to focus on. And I could close my eyes and not fall asleep. It's a process, okay? But I want to talk, I want to bring a little science into all of this, because we've gotten kind of woo-woo metaphysical here, and I don't want people going, oh my God, she's just way up in the clouds, and I can't wrap my brain around this, right? So we're going to talk about Sir Isaac Newton and his third law of motion, which says that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And this is science, people, okay? This is this is proven scientific fact, all right? So we're going to apply a little science to your prayer time, which, you know, sounds wonky, I suppose, but just listen with an open mind here. If you put all this energy out, pouring out your prayers, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of joy, prayers of gratitude, prayers of desire, prayers for healing, things that are on your heart, you put all this effort and energy into sending all of that out into the universe, into the ether, getting it off your chest, then you've created space, right? The vacuum law of prosperity says you've created a space. You've put something out. So in meditation, an equal energetic response must come back to you. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to come the way you want it or the way you expect it, but it has to come back to you. It's a scientific law. You put all this energy out, it's got to come back. Like dropping a pebble into a pond and the ripples ripple out and then they hit the sides of the banks of the river and those ripples bounce back in. Okay? So when you put this energy out in prayer, you need to open yourself to receive whatever impressions, messages, or guidance is waiting to fill the space you've just cleared out. And as a creative entrepreneur, you may call that, you know, inspiration for your creative project or, you know, this great idea that you have that just kind of hit you. That's that return. That's the energy return after you pour that out. And just like, okay, spring cleaning, all right? You may clear out 7 boxes of junk in a corner, you know, a stacked floor to ceiling, and you cleared out the whole corner, and the only thing you put back is a pedestal with a beautiful crystal vase on it, okay? You cleared out all that junk, and you put these 2 things in that little space. But now you have all this space and flow and beauty in that space. But look at just what happened. Wow, I cleared all this junk out of my head, okay, let's say. And I had enough room to put this beautiful new thing in there. And look at the quality of what replaced the head junk that you just poured out in prayer. You poured all this junk out, and what you got back was 1 or 2 really brilliant ideas or maybe 1 really great impression for something that you need to handle. Equal and entirely opposite. Just like Newton's scientific law. You put all this stuff out, and it gets transformed and sent back to you as maybe 1 or 2 things that are really beautiful or much more valuable for you and your personal experience. Now, my own sacred practice has evolved, continues to evolve over several years, and I think you're going to find as you use this that it's very common for all of us. We go through phases and stages in life where some things serve us very well, and then at some point, we graduate or we need to move on to new things, okay, new approaches. We don't ride a tricycle for our whole entire life. I mean, I'm 5'7", and riding a tricycle, my knees would be up under my chin, okay? I'm not still in kindergarten or 5th grade anymore. But each of those milestones was important at one time and maybe even a little challenging at the time I was going through it. So think about those milestones in your life, those things that you have passed through, and you look back and go, wow, that was a really tough time for me, but now it doesn't even serve me to be in that space anymore. At the time, it was a real challenge to learn fractions, but now fractions are a snap for me. Or, you know, it was really hard for me to learn how to cook, but now cooking's a breeze for me. And we have those evolutions, and as we evolve, so too must our approach to our tools and our practices. You know, when you're young, you don't sit at the table with a knife. You don't get to have the knife at the dinner table until you're old enough to be able to handle it well. And this whole P-system process works because it's flexible enough to allow you to adjust it according to how you live and move and have your being. So I want to talk about the am I doing it right issue for a moment, because when you're learning something new, invariably that question comes up for people. I know it comes up for me. Am I doing this right? Is there another way that I'm, what if I'm doing it wrong? Ooh, okay. The answer is you are doing it right. As long as you are doing it, there is no wrong way to do it. You may find that meditation is going to work better for you before prayer. That has not been my experience, but I'm not here to tell, who am I to tell you that you're doing it wrong? Okay. My only suggestion regarding the system is that you learn it first. Stick to the way I'm teaching it to you until you've got a level of comfort with it, and then feel free to experiment. You may find something that works much more strongly for you, much more powerfully for you than it does for me, okay? And I equate this to making chocolate chip cookies. There are probably a squajillion different ways to make chocolate chip cookies and still have it turn out like a chocolate chip cookie. Now, if you made it with concrete instead of flour, it's probably not going to turn out like a chocolate chip cookie. But most people start with a basic cookie recipe, and then they experiment with the ingredients, you know, oh, let's add some chocolate, ooh, let's try some walnuts, let's, you know, let's do this instead of that. They start to fiddle around with the recipe ingredients after they've gotten a level of comfort or proficiency with the recipe itself, the original basic recipe. So the PEACE system is the basic recipe, the framework. And then you get to make decisions for yourself within that framework about how much time am I going to spend on this component? Am I going to do this piece in this order, or am I going to tweak it so that it works better for me this way? You'll get there, okay? And I'm going to keep coming back to this in each session because it's important to remember that there is great freedom in structure. And I'm saying that for you just as much as I am saying it for myself, because there are times when I rail against structure, but as a creative entrepreneur, I need that. I need to have the structure there so that I know what my boundaries are in terms of what can I do from there, okay, my springboard, all right? And freedom is one of our five key areas. So again, the PEACE system gives you built in a mini exercise to help you in your five key areas of success. But if you want the best experience, you need to be practicing removing judgment and getting rid of those, am I doing it right? Yes, as long as you're doing it right, okay? And I told you earlier in the call that I would bring this up, and so here it is. You've got to be compassionate with yourself. Even a suggestion, an idea or a strategy that comes up to you, if it seems, you know, if you're judging it as small or insignificant or it's not going to make a difference, those seemingly small or insignificant little things can ultimately make a huge difference in your progress, your growth, or your breakthrough. But the key to realizing that growth comes when you're willing to see even the smallest, most minuscule issue as a worthy thing for you to address. And I'm not saying make a mountain out of a molehill, but what I'm saying is see that all mountains can be molehills, and all molehills can be mountains. Give them equal credence. Remove the judgment about wrong or right or good or bad in this process. Judgment doesn't have any place in the PEACE system, only compassion. You have to be compassionate to yourself and to the experience that you're creating as you're moving through this. Because as we go forward, one of the things you're going to do is triage. Why did this happen or why did this not get done? And if you're beating yourself up, I didn't get it done because I'm stupid. I didn't get it done because I didn't think it was important. Well, you're not helping yourself in the process of moving through and triaging and saying, okay, well, I didn't get this done because I overscheduled. There's no judgment around overscheduling. It's a fact. I put too many things on my plate. How can I change that moving forward? I can create better boundaries. Okay, now you've got a solution that's going to protect you moving forward, and there's no judgment there. It's compassion and understanding that this is where you're at. There's no right, there's no wrong. There's just doing it and being present to where you're at. And the result of all of this, the prayer and the meditation and the breathing and the inhaling and the exhaling, is this sense of connectedness. And I said earlier in the call, some people feel real grounded and centered when they finish their prayer and meditation. And as you continue to practice this, you're going to identify your sensations more quickly. Some people get really energized and excited. I know for me, for a long time, that was my outcome. I was like, woo, let's go, let's do this, let's get this day done. Now I'm not quite so hyper about it. I have a different kind of enthusiasm, and it feels more grounded for me when I complete my sacred practice. you're going to become more confident as you practice and more focused as you practice. The more you practice the P system, the easier it becomes. And you do need to do this as close to every day as you possibly can. I know stuff happens. I had a crazy, crazy, crazy weekend. But you owe it to yourself to value yourself enough to take the time for yourself before the world creeps in on your priorities to do this practice or something like it every day. You need to open yourself to receiving that compassionate message of help every single day. It's a faith act. Prayer opens you up by pouring out that energy to receive, through meditation, the divine messages that are all around you. And I learned this very intimately in my own practice. Right now, my practice begins as soon as I drop my youngest child off at school. We walk. So on the way home, I begin clearing my head. As I walk, I will start praying and just dumping things out. Something that's been eaten at me, something that happened that morning. You know, I'll talk myself through a dream I had the night before, just kind of getting that stuff out of my head. It's about a 10-minute walk, so it gives me some exercise. If I'm walking briskly, it's about 10 minutes. If I'm being lazy, it's about 15. And I'm by myself, so I can pour my heart out without any distractions. I don't have people I got to try and have a conversation with while I'm walking. And then when I'm home, I immediately go into my morning pages, grab my notebook, and start writing. 3 pages, sometimes more, takes about 5 minutes or so. And then I have a series of affirmations that I offer up before I go into meditation. This whole process, for me, includes more than just prayer and meditation. And I've structured my day so that I can spend, and I don't want anybody freaking out when I say this, okay? I can spend up to an hour just in prayer and meditation. And I structured my day that way because I found I really crave it. Not everybody does, okay? But when I started, I had about 3 to 5 minutes for all of prayer and meditation. It was like 3 to 5 minutes, that's all I get. Got to make it count. Got to really get it done. But it worked. And there are days when that's all I have, and I do it in 3 to 5 minutes, and I'm done with this step, with the P. The whole process, if you're really moving quickly through it, if you really are short on time, you can get the whole thing done in about 15 to 20 minutes. I have not seen many people have much success with it consistently if they try and do it in like 10, because you just got too much stuff going on in your brain that you got to dump out. And for people who are just getting started, it can take a little bit longer because you're not only doing the things, you're learning the order and you're trying to, you know, navigate it in your brain and create body memories for it and stuff like that. When you've got all those other extraneous things going on, it takes more energy. You're burning more calories. It takes more time. Okay? For some of you, this is going to take just a few minutes every day. For some of you, it's going to take a lot more time. And that's the beauty of this program. If you're connected, if you're truly connected, you're going to get so much clarity around your day as you move into the remaining steps of the system if you take the time to do it right in this step right here. Okay? Give yourself permission to get comfortable with the idea of variance, ebb and flow, and flexibility. Remember, balance is not the scales of justice. It's more like being a contortionist or a ballet dancer. It's breathing in and out. That's balance. Being flexible is a requirement to having that kind of balance. Now, in one of my other programs, we talk about the essential why and getting to the core of your true voice. And I think that when you have that, it makes prayer and meditation so much easier because you've got a filter through which everything passes, okay? But you don't need that in order to do prayer and meditation and get clarity for your day. Prayer and meditation become the power supply to the laser beam. And what I want to do for a minute here is talk about focused energy and focused action. And so let's say you've got a flashlight and you turn it on and the light goes all over the place, and it's this big wide beam, and it shines this big light all over this wall or whatever you've got it pointed at, right? Big spray of light. It helps to illuminate the area. It gets the job done for what it's supposed to do, but you're not going to cut a piece of metal with that flashlight. not going to do it. On the other hand, if you take that same light and you focus that energy, because light is just energy, you focus that energy down to a very fine point, now you have a laser beam. And if that light energy is strong enough and focused enough, it will cut through a piece of metal. Same energy, focused differently. And that's what prayer and meditation can do for you in this process. When you are in prayer, when you are meditating and receiving, when you are in that balanced state of pushing out energy and taking in equal and opposite energy, pushing out the yucky stuff, getting the clutter out of your head, and taking in the beautiful, inspiring, new, divine inspirations, okay? When you're in that process, you get this connectedness that allows you to focus like a laser beam. You are more focused, which means you can take focused action. When you're scattered and you're all over the place and you sit down and you go, okay, what are my priorities for today? Forget about it. You're a mess. You can't concentrate. Concentration is focus. You know, concentrated orange juice is orange juice that's had the water sucked out of it, evaporated out of it, so it's concentrated down into its strongest part. It's focused. You can't concentrate if you're all over the place. You can't stay focused if you're all over the place. Prayer and meditation give you that connectedness to the power source that allows you to be focused. So that you leave this step of the peace system and you move into the E step, which we will talk about in our next session, you have a much better chance of looking at what's really important because you're connected to something that keeps you focused instead of scattered all over the place. That's why we start with prayer and meditation. That's why the peace system is the peace system with a P. And in EACE, we start with prayer. We start with meditation. You have to be connected and grounded and focused before you can move forward into anything else. The more scattered you are, the harder and more overwhelming it is to deal with the things that come up in your life. Which, again, is why I go back to you owe it to yourself to carve out the time to make this happen. And I have to tell you, when I decided early this year that I wanted to spend an hour every day in prayer and meditation. And this was a conscious decision for me because I really craved something deeper and something richer and something fuller in my spiritual practice. And I didn't want to give up on the peace system because it's so very valuable to me. I knew that in order to continue to have both, I was going to have to expand my time in prayer and meditation. And so I literally went to my husband and said, look, first thing in the morning, I'm doing prayer and meditation, so you need to get your stuff out of the bedroom, towels, shoes, clothes, whatever you need, take them to the bathroom, because when you leave, I'm locking the door. And he looked at me, and this was hard for me. This was a hard boundary for me to set. I said, look, if I don't have this time, I am a cranky, crappy person to be around. Do you want to be around a cranky, crappy person? Or do you want to be around a happy person? And he was like, you know what? I will lock the door on my way out, honey. Okay. And there were some growing pains with that. He would forget. He'd knock on the door. Can you let me back in? The kids would knock on the door. Mom! I'm like, uh-uh. Mommy is not here. You are going to have to go see Daddy. Every day of the week, get out of the bedroom, honey. He has to now get up early, which on the weekends, which he hates. I'm sorry. I need this time for myself. I had to set that boundary. We're going to talk more about boundaries later in the program, but I had to set that boundary. I had to tell him, no, this time I need for me, and I need you to support me in having this time because it's valuable to me. And I do that for an hour every day. I think you can ask the people in your life to give you that support for 15 to 20 minutes a day. Whether it means getting up a little bit earlier, getting into the bathroom before your spouse does, staying up a little bit later and handling things in a different order, asking someone else to pick up the slack on something so that you can have this time to yourself, or bringing the kids home from school and staying in the car another 15 minutes before you go inside. You owe it to yourself, to bring your full, true self to every experience of your existence. Because if somebody else is showing up, somebody else is getting the blessing. And those blessings are meant for you. I don't know any other way to articulate how important this is. In our last session, we started talking about what can you delegate? What can you get off your plate? What should you have said no to in the first place that you didn't? And we're going to talk about should do's, want to do's, must do's, all that good stuff in a future session. But it's important for you to recognize that part of the reason we're doing this preparatory delegating stuff is so that you can have the time in your day to do the peace system consistently, regularly, because you are worth it. You deserve it. You need to have it or something like it in your life. And if you're in this program, it might as well be this. Because this will serve you if you do the process completely. And again, there's so much flexibility in it. You don't have to do it first thing in the morning. Now I'm in a position, when I first started doing this at the beginning of the year, it was like 6 o'clock in the morning. I got up and I did my sacred practice, blah, 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 blah. Well, now the kid's back to school, so I do it after I drop him off. He was half-day kindergarten last year. Now he's full-time. So I do it in the morning after I drop him off at school. I don't have any appointments in my morning before I finish my sacred practice. And that time that I had at 6 o'clock in the morning, I now use for my workout. So I'm exercising regularly now, and I never used to do that. So, yeah, it's going to shift and it's going to change, and you may not always do it at the same time every single day. The time isn't as important as the doing. And I don't know how else to communicate that to you. You deserve self-care, and the peace system is an aspect of self-care that gives you more for the 5 key areas of your life. Okay? It's important to have that support structure for yourself. And if you're not giving it to yourself, why would anyone else? All right, I'm going to get off my soapbox now. Give you guys an opportunity to ask any questions that you might have. All you have to do is press *6 on your phone, and that will place you in the queue. And we will take any questions you have about this session or the last session. *6, going once, going twice. All right, I will end the Q&A session. If you guys do have any questions about any of the content, something that comes up for you after the fact, go ahead and email. If you have any feedback about the course, I always love to hear that. If there's something that's working for you, if there's something that you're struggling with, I want to be able to be present to what you have going on. This is part of my loving service, is to be able to help answer whatever questions that you guys might have and make sure that you're understanding how the peace system actually works. And just send an email to info@lisarobinyoung.com. Remember, Robin has 2 B's. And your email will get straight to my team. I can't promise I'm going to answer every email, but I'm going to, you know, do the best I can. I read them all. And, you know, if it's a relevant question to the whole group, I will answer it on next week's call so that everybody can benefit from it. You know, we like to share this information and get you guys the help that you need. That's what this is all about. So, with that, I'm going to wrap it up for today. Thank you so much for joining us on this session, and we will talk again next week. Until then, this is Lisa Robin Young signing off in blessings and peace. Have a great day.